You got your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27 is where we'll be to this morning, be the Lord's will. I want to give you a message that the Lord has put upon my heart. If we tried to preach this morning without it being sent from God, it would just be words and it wouldn't profit anybody anything. How many believes this morning that the Bible is God's perfect, infallible Word? Do you believe it's perfect from cover to cover? That's what I'm going to preach to you this morning, is God's Word with the help of the Lord. You just pray real hard as we try to bring you what thus saith the Word of God. If you would, let's stand for the reading of God's Word this morning as we break into Acts 27, verse 1. The Bible says, "And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustus band. And entering in a ship, the Adramenium, we launched, meaning to sail to the coast of Asia. And one Aristarcha and Macedonia of Thessalonica being with us, and the next day we touched at Sidon. And Judas courteously entertained Paul and gave him liberty to go into his friends and to refresh himself. And when we launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary." Look at verse 9. "Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was not dangerous, it was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, 'Sir, I perceive that the voyage will bring hurt and much damage, not only of the landing of the ship, but to also our lives.'" Let us pray. Father, I ask you today, Lord, as we stand behind this sacred desk and read your precious word, God, would you speak through these stammering lips? Give us fresh bread from heaven this morning. We need to speak to your people. God, use us as an instrument, Lord, for your glory, and we'll give you the praise for it all. And all of God's people said, amen. You can be seated this morning. Here we see in this chapter that the Apostle Paul has been arrested in Jerusalem and taken to Caesarea, where he's appeared before two governors over the period of 2 years. And he was not happy with the trial and the way that it was going. And he's asked to see Caesar. And he's asked to send him to Rome till he can go before Caesar and he can judge these matters. Paul's been imprisoned and he's been suffering and going through a lot of things. But here we see here in Acts chapter 27 that we're beginning to see Paul's voyage to Rome. And this morning I want to preach a simple message with the help of the Lord on the lifeguard. I want to preach about the lifeguard this morning. Paul has entered into a ship and they've set sail at the worst time of the year. We see this in verse 9. The Bible says, "And when much time was spent, and we sailed, and the sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past." The fast was already past, which was the Day of Atonement that the Bible talks about. They celebrated this each year, late September, early October. And by this time, the seas were really rough, and they wasn't sailable. They would come off the seas at this time and dock their ships, and they wouldn't sail anymore until March because of the sea being so rough. But here Paul is asked to send him to Rome because he don't feel like he's being done right. And they send him to Rome, and he's with the prisoners here in this ship. And I'm trying to paint a picture for you this morning. He's not as the other criminals that are on the ship. He is riding this ship as a passenger. Yes, he's a prisoner, but not like the other prisoners that are on the ship. They are giving him a little bit of favor, and it even goes on to tell you that they was courteous unto him and entertained him, that when they docked, they allowed him to go unto his friends to refresh himself and to gather his thoughts and get ready for the next voyage that they would take. Now, they knew what time of year it was, and they were sailing anyway. And if you got in the back of your Bible, we've got maps in the back of our Bibles, and you can look at Paul's voyage in the back of that Bible. But I want to try to paint you a picture, if you'll pray for just a few moments of time, and show you what it means to have a lifeguard in our life. Here we see Paul, and he's here in this ship, and he's trying to be a witness, and he's trying to stay positive in the worst circumstances of his life. I don't know about you, but if I'm imprisoned and I'm put on a ship to go someplace else, I ain't going to be too happy about it. My witness is not going to be that great, because I'm going to be pouting, I'm going to be moaning about my situation, because I want out of that situation. I don't know about you, but I pout a little bit every now and again. When things go wrong in my life, I like to have a pity party every now and again. I know I'm the only one that ever does that. Something goes bad, I want to say, Lord, why me? Why is this going bad? I've been doing all this work, Lord, and this is happening to me. Well, why not you? It hurts the person down the road as much to go through these trials as it does you. So we need to pray for these that are going through that. But Paul doesn't explain here that he's having a pity party. But I'd like to read on just a few more verses if you don't care. Let's look at verse 22. The Bible says, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer. They've been sailing and it's been rough and they're going through a lot and they're trying not to die is what they're trying not to do. The winds are beating up on the ship. And the Bible even talks about here in the Mediterranean Sea that they're sailing along the coastline, trying to allow the coast, the islands and the mountains to block the wind and stuff that's coming in on them. So they're sailing as close as that big old ship will sail to the land, so it will block this storm for overtaking the ship. They're so scared in the earlier part of this chapter, you can read it for yourself, that things are starting to go back. They're throwing over their supplies. They're throwing over their tools. They're trying to lighten the load so they don't perish. A lot of times in our lives, we get in trouble, and we'll start looking around what's causing us trouble, and we try to get those things out of our lives to lighten the load in our life. So we see Paul here in verse 22, he says, now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. I like this next verse. There stood before me this night the angel of God, who I am, of whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all of them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. I'm telling you this morning, church, you need to be of good cheer. God is with us, and I believe God for what He's going to do in this church house. Amen. I believe God for what He's got in store for what's going to go on here at Vickers Chapel. I believe God for what He's going to do in your life and in your life. All you that are suffering many things in your life, physically, financially, emotionally, and spiritually, all these different things that's going on in your life, I'm believing God on your behalf that God is going to meet your need. And I'll tell you what we need to do as children of God. We need to surround ourselves with positive people, people that love God. Because I'll tell you what, God's blessing their life. And if God is blessing their life, I want to be a part of that blessing. I want to be around that blessing when God is blessing them. Maybe that blessing will run over on me. Can I hear from you right now? If you'll get in the church house and you'll work for God as God begins to do like He did last Sunday here, that blessings will roll over you, and you'll be blessed just like everybody else, amen, even when you don't deserve it. We don't deserve the blessings of God. But here we see Paul is telling them, God has told me that not one single person of this ship's going to die if you'll listen to me. Why? Because I believe God. He goes down in verse 33. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. You have to abide in the ship is what he's telling them. You better get your sins under the blood of Christ if you're going to go to this place that's called heaven. I'm going to tell you this morning, you can have your name on every church roll from here to Kingsport and from here to Duffield. And you can be active everywhere and you can give money and you can do great deeds without the blood of Jesus Christ over your life, over your sins, without accepting Him into your life. You will die and go to a devil's hell. Can I hear from you this morning? So Paul is telling them, I believe God. But here comes the next thing in verse 41. Here's where the real trial happens. Now I can tell you all day long what God's going to do here at the church. And I can tell you, get ready, get ready, get ready. It's about to happen. It's going to happen. If you'll listen, if you'll come and you'll support and you'll be active, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. Why? Because God is telling me what's going to happen. I can tell you all day long. But if you don't believe it, if you don't come and you don't be a part of it, you'll miss out on the blessings of God. And Paul has told them they've got to abide in the ship. Listen to me. God has spoken to me. He told us to abide in the ship. Don't try to get out of the ship. Stay with me. I believe God. Because of what's going to happen in verse 41. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground. And the fourth part stuck fast and remained unmovable. But the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers, listen, of course, was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim away and escape. But the centurions, listen, willing to save Paul. Paul had already won the favor of these men that were watching the prisoners. The centurion, he had won them because of his witness. Listen what he says here to them. But the centurions willing to save Paul kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get the land. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces and some on the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. They all escaped safe. Why? Because they believe the man of God. I'm telling you this morning, you need to heed what I've got to tell you this morning. God is sending a watchman here to help guide you, protect you, and to love you, and to show you what His will be in your life. I'm not a smart man, but I know the voice of God. I know what He wants out of our lives, and that's to love Him and serve Him and commit our lives to Him, that our lives may be blessed in Him. Amen. That's what He wants for our lives. The first thing I want to tell you this morning, talking about the lifeguard. Here we see that the lifeguard has watched over Paul, and he's watched over these men, and he's kept them safe. Yes, they've had to go through a shipwreck, but God has brought them through, amen. We don't know, sometimes we may have to go through a shipwreck, but God said He'll go with us all the way, even down until the end of the world. He's given us a watchman here. I'm so glad that God has put Spirit-filled pastors in churches to help guard the life of people and guard their spiritual life and to help them, lead them to the cross of Calvary, lead them to the One that can lead them through. And I'm telling you this morning, He sent us a watchman. Over in Ezekiel chapter 37, the Bible says, the Son of Man hath made thee a watchman into the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the words at my mouth and give them warning for me. God has told me to warn you. We need to live for Him here in these last days. We need to seek Him first in our lives. We need to put Him first in everything that we do. We need to put Him first at the home. We need to put Him first at the job. We need to put Him first in everything that we do. Why? Because we need to be watchmen for Him. We need to be watching that He's coming one day after a while. Can I hear from you this morning? The Lord is coming from those that are prepared. The Bible says over there in verse 10, I believe it is, we can see what Paul said in verse 10. And said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with much hurt and much damage, not only of the landing of the ship, but also of lives. We are called to be watchmen no matter what happens in our lives. I said this before, and I'm going to say it again this morning because I feel the Holy Spirit telling me to say it. Somebody is watching your life. I don't care how young, how old you are, somebody is watching your life. They won't listen to me, but they'll listen to you. I'm not going down there to talk to that preacher, but they'll talk to you. They'll watch your life. Sister Gillum knows what I'm talking about because I taught on it a while back about you never know where God's going to send us to be a witness. And God used her to be a witness to Brother John. And Brother John came last week and got under the word of God, the power of God, and walked the aisle for God and got saved because of her witness. It wasn't the preacher that went to her. She was the watchman. She was watching John's life. He was watching her life. He came to her and said, do you know where I could go to church at? And she could have said, no, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. But yet she stepped up because God's been moving at the church and God's been doing a great work. And she said, yes, I know where you can go. And he said, where's that? You can come to our church. Really, they accept me there? Yes, we'll accept. The first time a church ever turns a sinner away, they ought to put a lock on the door and shut it down and turn it into a hay barn. When we get to the place that we can't love sinners and welcome sinners into the house of God, we need to go to the house and quit. This is a place where people can come and find refuge for their soul when they're lost without God. They can come and hear the preached word of God. I don't care if they're tattooed from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. I don't care if they got nose rings, hey, hanging out their nose and their ears and buckets hanging on every one of them. I want them in the house of God that we can preach them the word of God and tell them that somebody loves them that is called Jesus. That's what we want. I went to a church one time. There was people coming in, and they were motorcycle riders, and they'd come in with vests on and no shirts on and do-rags on, and he was making the church uncomfortable that these kind of people were coming in. And they even went so far to go to the pastor and said, we don't like these kind of people coming in. He said, I don't like stuck-up people like you neither. You ought to get out of here because we're going to reach the sinners for Christ. I want them to come in their do-rags. I want them to come in their leather vest. I want them to sit on the front row, and we tell them Jesus loves them, amen. That's what I want. Why? Because we got to be a watchman. God wants us to be a watchman. They showed a video this morning in Sunday school. You ought to come to Sunday school. Brother John shared it this morning. It was wonderful. Brother Ray Comfort being out on the street, doing a street ministry, talking to the roughest of the rough and telling them about Jesus. How many times have you went down to Kingsport on the courthouse steps and told somebody about Jesus? How many times you went down to Walmart and told somebody about Jesus? How many times you went down to Food City and told somebody about Jesus? How many times you went down to the sewer department and tell somebody about Jesus? How many times have you told somebody about Jesus? We're not being good watchmen if we're not. Well, when the time is right and it feels good and everything works out real good, I'll tell somebody about Jesus. You'll never tell nobody if you wait on that. It's getting quiet in here this morning. We got to be watchmen for the Lord. Number two, I'm not only a watchman here at this church, but God has sent me to be a protector here at this church. I'm to protect the flock. Ezekiel 33, the Bible says, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he bloweth the trumpet and warn the people. You've got to warn the people. Those that are around you, those that you love, you need to warn those people. there in the Bible over in verse 22, we see that Paul was warning them and telling them, you must abide within the ship if you're going to live. Don't jump overboard. Don't do anything till the man of God tells you what you need to do. Abide within the ship. What gets us in trouble a lot of times, we'll preach the Word of God, we'll show you the Word of God, and they'll turn a deaf ear to it and go right on out and get in all kinds of trouble. How did I get here? I didn't listen to the protector. I'm here this morning to protect you. Here to tell you what thus saith the Word of God. When the devil sees you out in an open field and he pulls back the bow to get you in the field, it's my job to jump in front and protect you and try to guard you and shield you from what the devil is trying to do to your life. But I'm going to tell you this morning, I can't protect all of you. I can't save all of you at once. I can't be there all at once. I've got some other protectors in the church house. I got to have that stand with me to help guard the people of God and help guard the house of God. I thank God for people, but guard other people. Amen. Are you watching out for your brothers and sisters and their best welfare? Love you, brother. I know you're having a hard time, but I love you. That's your problem. I'm going to stay over here, but I love you. If you need me, call me. You really don't mean that. That love, that call is from afar. I love you, man. I love you. You go ahead and do your thing. I'm going to stand over. But I love you. Don't forget that. I love you. And that's what we do. Oh, we got faith that God's going to do it. Oh, we got faith. Faith without works is dead, the Bible says. I got faith. I'm going to show you my faith by my works. I can't be there when everything happens in everybody's life in this church, but if I know about it and I'm able to do it and I can do it, I'm going to be there. Why? Because I want to try to protect you from what the devil's trying to do in your life. I'm going to tell you this morning, the devil hates you. He'd love to see you destroyed. He'd love to see your family dead. He'd love to see you dead. He'd love to see you discouraged and down and out. And defeated in your life. But I'm going to tell you this morning, greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. You can overcome if you'll trust the Lord Jesus Christ. When the devil starts ahead in you, that junk, you need to remind him what his future is. You need to say, get behind me, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ. I rebuke you. Get out of here. And the Bible says, at the name of Jesus, the demons tremble in fear, and they have to flee, amen, from that very name. We need to be a protector this morning of each other and love one another. And thirdly, I need to be a rescuer. I need to rescue people because people do get in trouble. People do fail. Do you fail? Let me hold up both hands and both legs. And we all fail. We've all come short of the glory. How about it? Let's get real. How about this week? Anybody ever failed this week? I didn't figure nobody raise their hand and be like, I failed this week. I could do more for God. I could be more persistent. I could work more and love God more and pray more and read more and study and seek God's will in my life. That's where I'm failing God at. I don't know about you, but you're seeing a weak man. But I'm glad for the grace of God. Did you know I can't do anything to make God love me anymore? Well, if I'll do this and I'll read my Bible and I'll study and I'll be faithful like the preacher says, God will love me more and favor me more. He won't do it. He loves you unconditionally. He loves you in the mess that you're in. It's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come under repentance. You can't earn the favor of God. You can't love, God can't love you any more than He loves you. But He can be prouder of what you're doing. I love, when I was growing up, you know, Mom and Daddy asked me to do something, and I tried to go do it. Why? Because I wanted to make my parents proud. I wanted to honor my mother and father. And my dad said, go cut the grass. I wanted to go, I didn't really want to do it, but I went and done it because he said, go do it. Why? Because he's my father, and I'm supposed to do it. But you know what else would happen? When I wouldn't do what my dad said and I would go out and get myself in trouble, my dad didn't come out there and stomp a hole in me and tell me how good for nothing I am. And I told you as you was going to do that and do it all this to me, my dad would reach down and pick me up. and he would love on me. And he'd say, son, you know you're wrong, but I love you. And he'd put his arms around me. He'd dust me off, and he'd set me on my feet and show me where I was wrong and send me on my way. That's just like my Heavenly Father. When I fall, he picks me up, and he brushes me off. And he says, I don't want you to go that way, but I want you to do this. And I love you, and he'll send me on my way. But the devil will say, remember when? Remember when? Remember when? Remember what? Remember what you said, what you thought, what you did. I'm going to teach a Sunday school class for God. Oh, no, you can't. You remember what you did? I'm going to go over here and sing a song for the Lord. No, you can't. You remember what you did back there? That's the devil for you. He's always pointing. Everything you've ever done wrong, he's pointing at you. I'm here to rescue you this morning and tell you that God has forgiven you. You need to forgive yourself and move on for God in your life. That God will bless you and use you in your life. My little children over in John, he said, he writes unto us, he said, my little children, that's you he's talking about. He said, I write unto you that if you sin, to have an advocate with the Father. What's have an advocate with the Father mean? It means to get down and have a little talk with Jesus, and he'll make everything all right. He said that he'd be faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's what he'll do. Why? Because he's a rescuer of all your problems and all your needs. He can rescue you from that today. And we gotta let the devil. You know, we listen more to the devil than we do to God. Oh, no, I don't. Yes, you do. Because if you're living a life in defeat, you're listening to the devil. My life's not defeated. I live a victorious life. Well, you sick 2 weeks ago. Amen. I might have felt like I was going to die, but I still shouldn't have victory. Why? Because I had his love in my heart and his promise of a home in heaven. If he called, I would have been better off. But I had to tarry and go on for a little while longer. And maybe you're going through the same thing. Maybe the ways of this life have just been pressing down upon you, and you don't know how to overcome, and you want to overcome, but the devil's always right there in your face reminding you, sending all this stuff upon you. You need to stand on the Word of God and proclaim the Word of God and rebuke Satan in the name of Jesus Christ and go on for the Lord. That's what you need to do. I'm telling you how to be rescued this morning from where you're at. God loves you. And you that are victorious, you all that are overcomers, and you that have overcome these things in your life, when you see a brother fall, what should you do? Talk about him, call the neighbor about him, stomp him on down? That's the way we do, ain't it? Did you all realize that we're the only religion that kill their wounded? Do y'all know that? Other religions besides Christianity, they'll go and help their wounded. They'll pick them up. They'll stand with them and fight for them. But Christians will kill each other. Soon as they get down and out, we'll talk about each other. We'll lie on each other. We'll put them down so far that they can't even prosper and never do anything good again. We do that as Christians. But I'm telling you this morning, we need to be rescuers for God. When we see our brother and sisters fall, we need to pick them up. We need to show them love. I don't care how bad they fall. We need to go over and put our arms around them. Tell them that Jesus loves them. Everything's going to be all right. Come on with me. I'll help you walk. I'll help you stand. But yet we don't want to do that. It's easier to stay in our comfort zone, in our place, and just do what we feel led to do. Because this is all about us anyhow, ain't it? That's what we think sometimes. It ain't about us, church. It's all about Him. The lifeguard, the great lifeguard, is rescuing you and I from these problems. He said He would make a way of escape out of any problem that you have. This morning, if you are suffering with financial problems, there's a way of escape. If you're suffering physical problems, there's a way of escape. If your children is a mess, there's a way of escape. If your husband's a mess, your wife's a mess, if your home's a mess, whatever the problem is, Jesus said, I am the escape way. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. You can come to Him this morning and surrender all of that to Christ. And Christ will move in and move that stuff out. He's the best house cleaner I've ever had. I'm glad that when my house gets dirty, He don't come in and judge me for it. He said, let's get a mop. He'll just start cleaning up. You know, but Lord, I've been such a mess, and He's cleaning. That's okay. I love You. We're going to make this right. That's just like the Lord, ain't it? But Lord, look at that. That's okay. We'll go over here and clean that up too. And this is a mess, and Lord, just wiping around. It's okay. We'll have this cleaned up here in just a few minutes. And the next thing you know, it's all fixed. Everything looks real good. And the devil don't have nothing to point at anymore. We need to be cleaned up this morning. That's what we need in our lives. Boy, it's quiet in here. He is our great protector. He is our answer. And He told me to tell you this morning, He is your lifeguard. He sent pastors by our way in these churches to love us and to care for us. And I've come this morning to tell you that I love you and I care for you and I want the best for you. I want you to be happy. I want your children to be blessed and happy. And I want to see you coming in smiling and excited about what God's doing down at the house of God. And bring your mess and let's clean it up. Drag your baggage with you. We'll take it to the altar and give it to God. This is a good place to lay it all down anyhow. I love 1 Peter 5 and 7. I quote it all the time because I believe it. He said, cast all your cares. You know what casting means? It don't mean to hold on to it. He said, cast all your cares upon Him. Why? Because He careth for you. That's the way the Lord is. He wants us to give Him our problems. But our problem is, it's like this box. There ain't much. If it was my problems, it'd be full up. But a lot of times we'll pray and ask God, Lord, I'm going to give You this. Now, this is bad in my life. I'm going to give that one, Lord, but I want to keep the rest of them. I want to worry about this. I want to fret over this. I love misery. Misery loves company. And I got to keep. I'll give You that, but I'm going to keep this. I know You're the lifeguard, but I'll take care of this. That's the way we are, church. We like our stuff. We don't want nobody in our stuff. We don't even want the Lord in our stuff. Now, Lord, I know that's bad. I'm going to give that. But this stuff right here, Lord, I think I can handle that. Because I like to be a little bit miserable, and I like to pout, and I like to have a pity party, and that's what this is in here. And I can't give this to you. You will never live a victorious life until you give it all, every single bit of it, to God. You'll never live a victorious life. And empty it all out, empty. And be completely empty. Empty me, Lord. The lifeguard is waiting for you to surrender all that you have. This church can never go to the next level until you surrender what you're holding on to. Now, I'm talking to you this morning. God wouldn't give me this message if it wasn't for somebody this morning. The great lifeguard loves you this morning. He wants the best for you this morning. He's not here to judge you this morning. I'm not here to judge you this morning. I'm telling you, He wants the best for your life. Let me give you this last scripture. Ezekiel 33:6, the Bible says, but if the watchman seeth the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take a person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. As God has set me here as a watchman, I have got to warn you this morning that you need to surrender your life to Christ and live a spiritual, victorious life if God is going to bless your life. Because if I don't tell you, someday your blood will be right there on my hands. And I don't want to stand before God and God look at me and say, why didn't you tell Brother James? Why didn't you tell Brother Luke? Why didn't you tell them what I wanted for their life? Why didn't you tell these men? What am I going to say? Lord, I was just too backwards. Lord, I just couldn't do it. You know, I'm afraid what they say, Lord, I can't do it. Maybe that's how the devil's done you. You can't do it because you're afraid. Did you know fear is of the devil? We're more than conquerors through the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not to live in fear, church. Christ loves you this morning. If you're here lost without God, God loves you. He's the lifeguard. He wants to rescue your life so you don't have to spend eternity in hell. And Christians, if you're here and you feel defeated, God wants to rescue your life so you don't have to live like that. The devil has fed you a lie and told you you have to live in fear. You do not have to live in fear this morning. Why? Christ loves you. I love you. This church loves you. These folks sitting around here love you. We're here for you. I'm afraid somebody would judge me. This church family will not judge you. Do you know what this altar is made for? This is made for Christians, is what this is made for. Oh, I thought that was for sinners only. See, that's what the devil told you. This is for Christians. You ought to come here. You ought to surrender this stuff and give it to God. When you have a need in your life, somebody in your family's sick, somebody's hurting in your life, you need to come and give it to the Lord. There's something about getting down on your knees and getting before God and saying, God, I'm sorry. Would you take this, Lord, and do what you have to do with it? The church has got away from the kneeling and the praying at the altars and asking God to move in their life. I don't know why they're scared of the altar. He was made for us to come and surrender everything to Him. I'm glad that over 37 years ago, I walked an old-fashioned altar. I'll way down to an old-fashioned altar and give my life to the Lord. How about you today? How long has it been since you've been to the altar? Well, I don't know. I don't really do that. I that's the devil keeping you from a victorious life. Well, I'll just pray silently where I'm at. Nobody will know. He knows. He said if you were ashamed to confess Him before this adulterous generation, He'd be ashamed of you. Confess you before His Father and His holy angels. I don't want Him to be ashamed of me. How about you? But the great lifeguard this morning wants you to surrender whatever's going on in your life. Whatever needs that you've got, you can surrender that this morning. Because the watchman has put a man here to love you, to care for you, and watch as the devil is trying to interfere in your life and bring you down. I'm going to tell you, you can live victorious this morning. You may not have all the money you think you need. You may not have the great home, the great job, the fine cars, and all those things that you think will make you happy. But I promise you, friend, there's only happiness in that just for a little while. Just for a little while. When that payment book comes, the happiness goes right out the door. Trust me, I know. But that joy of serving Jesus, it'll go on and go on. And go on. And it'll carry you through those hard times. Let's bow our heads this morning.